Well, a very good evening to you once again. I'm Greg Stinsidi. It's a minute and a half after the hour of 6 o'clock, listening to the Voice of Barbados, 92.9 FM. And usually around this time on Sundays, we have for you the Better Health Radio Show. And today, it's no different. And we've got the good doctor, Dr. Renee Boyce. She has a team of guests this evening, and she's going to present to you the Better Health Radio Show. Good evening, doctor. How are you doing?
Hi, good evening, Gregston. How are you?
I am not too bad, you know. Not too bad at all.
Okay, it's great to see you. It's great to be back here another Sunday.
Pleasure is always mine when you have your guest and yourself here. And this evening is special because we are sponsored by AA Lackey. So we're going to say a very good evening to them. AA Lackey, thank you so much.
Yes, wonderful. Good evening to AA Lackey as well. Looking forward to getting into our program this evening where we're having a heart-to-heart conversation with some very special people. And true to form on the show, we will be having some specialists on board who will be able to guide us through our conversation this evening. But as usual, let's just say hello to everybody who's listening in. Thank you for being regular listeners to the show. I got a call from one of our regular listeners just the other day, Mr. Hope. So I just want to say a special good afternoon to you, or good evening, more correctly. Good evening, Mr. Hope, and to all the others who call in regularly. Thank you for being a significant part of our show. And if you want to give us a call on the show, 434-1790, that will get you into the studio. If you want to send a WhatsApp, that's 266-4862. Let me get right into our show this evening. We have a lot of ground to cover. Cardiology is one of those subjects that's wide and varied. And we have two very special people here this evening. We have Mr. Barry Knight. Good evening, Barry. How are you doing? You have to unmute your mic.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Right. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Yes, this evening I'm fine. I'm doing well today.
Okay, we're looking forward to hearing from you in just a few minutes about what's so special about you. And the other person we want to say a special hello to is Miss Alicia Griffith. Hi, Alicia. Alicia was here earlier. Alicia, are you still with us? Okay, she might have dropped out, so we'll give her
when she comes back, we will readmit her.
Yes. Technology, you know, if we were in studio, I don't think that one of us could just disappear all of a sudden, but these are the times in which we live, and we're grateful for the technology. And on our specialist panel, we have Dr. Don Scantlebury. We had Don in last week. Don is an interventional cardiologist who is very, very highly qualified. And we want to say good evening to you, Don, the brainchild behind this series as well.
Hi, Renee. Good to see you again.
And lastly, but by no means least, we've left the greats for the end, and a special, special warm welcome to Dr. Raymond Massey. Good evening, Dr. Massey. How are you?
Unmute.
Yes, unmute, Dr. Massey. If you go over your... You found it?
Yeah, he has to unmute his mic as well.
Yes, put your cursor on your screen and you'll see the microphone come up. And you should just click it and you'll be able to... All right. So whilst we wait for Dr. Massey to unmute his mic and get everything technologically sound... Dr. Massey is a cardiologist with many years of experience, When I was a student, Dr. Massey was a cardiologist, and I have been practicing for over a decade. And that just gives you an idea as to how long Dr. Massey was practicing. As a matter of fact, the only thing that has changed for Dr. Massey is the amount of gray that he now has. I think that's the only difference. That is the only thing that has given away the passage of time. So what I want to do is hear in just a few minutes, Barry, let's hear your heart story.
Okay, you want me to start like from the very beginning or from when I was diagnosed?
A little before you were diagnosed, because that will give the listeners, a chance to understand what prompted you to seek medical attention. And that's what we want. We want to be able to let persons know what symptoms need to guide them towards medical attention.
Okay. I was a very active young adult. I did a lot of running, played basketball, track and field, as well as going to the gym. But you know, as you get a little bit older and life starts to slow down a bit, you're not into those activities as much. So I had gained a little weight, and I really didn't think anything about some of these signs that my body was telling me. You know, I attributed to getting older and putting on a bit more weight. But basically, the signs were there. It's things like not being able to sleep properly at night. You're laying down flat and you feel like, you know, like you can't breathe, almost like you're going to pass out. And if you don't know anything about heart failure, you probably would attribute those things to having asthma, which I was diagnosed with when I was younger as well. Things like when you do go to do activities, you find that it's harder than before. So you probably might say, well, I'm just, you know, out of shape. Mm-hmm. So the signs were there subtly, but being completely ignorant to heart failure and heart problems, and also telling myself that I was a bit too young to have any issues like that, I dismissed it, which was rather foolish of me. I remember going to a particular doctor one time with a complaint, and I was telling the doctor, well, my heart is racing at night when I'm at rest, and I don't know why that should be. So the doctor told me, it sounds like you have acid reflux. And I didn't know any better, so I accepted that. He gave me some medication, and that was that. But realistically, that was the first signs, really, of my heart failure. Fast forward a couple years, and I was married, and one night I was laying in bed, and I couldn't sleep, and I asked my wife to take me to the hospital. I went to the asthma bay, and after a while, the nurse told me, well, these symptoms are not asthma. This is the heart problem. And that was when it was diagnosed, and that was in December of 2015.
Okay, so for our listeners, just give us a timestamp. How old were you when you had your first set of symptoms?
My first set of symptoms that I can remember, I was probably 31, 32.
And your diagnosis was made at around age?
Age 35.
Okay, so we have about a 4 or 5 year gap there. Okay, we seem to have our second special guest back with us. Hi, good evening. Alicia?
Alicia is also having audio issues, so she's trying with another device.
Alicia,
can you hear us? No, she can't.
No. Okay, well, Dr. Massey, good evening, Dr. Massey.
Hi, good evening. I hope I've unmuted successfully.
Yes, you have. There's that familiar voice.
Good Stop evening. Smiling, Gretston.
That's all right, sir. It happens to me sometimes.
Regularly. Don't feel bad, Dr. Massey. It happens quite regularly with him. It's great to have you in with us this evening, and we're looking forward to the value that you can add to the discussion. Whilst we wait for Alicia, let's talk a little bit about the symptoms that Barry was having and the diagnosis of reflux. Is it uncommon that heart trouble can be misdiagnosed as reflux? Let's actually take this one, and then we'll ask Don some questions a little later on.
No, it is very, very common. And I always give the story of one of the greatest clinical cardiologists who was found dead in his garden, died of a heart attack, but misdiagnosed himself with reflux for months before. And that's the story that I always give. He was one of the greatest cardiologists of his time. His books are now antiques, selling for hundreds and hundreds of pounds. And if he could misdiagnose it, then I think I'm forgiving for most doctors who do misdiagnose heart disease for reflux. I think what has to happen, and in a case like we just heard, you really wouldn't suspect a young man like Barry to have it. So therefore, this is age profiling, Barry. This is not racial profiling. This is age profiling.
Correct.
And I think what we are now learning is that we have to dispense with that kind of mindset. There was a time when we profiled in Barbados on the basis of heart disease occurring only in foreigners. I do remember telling people in England when I trained that heart disease in Barbados is a tourist disease. It comes in November and it leaves in April. And as time has gone by, that has changed. So I think now it's got to be an approach of just do not profile anybody coming into your office. Listen to the story and then make the diagnosis, because you've got now so many young people presenting with heart disease.
Certainly, you must have that high index of suspicion. You know, expect the worst and make sure that you ensure that that is not what the patient has. I think that's instructive for us as physicians, family physicians especially. Dr. Scantlebury, let me ask you, what exactly is heart failure?
Heart failure is a clinical diagnosis. It's a clinical syndrome whereby the heart is unable to meet the demands of the body. So the heart, we know, is kind of like the generator of the body. It supplies the body with blood that has oxygen and nutrients, et cetera. It beats on average about 60 to 100 times a minute, and it sends out a certain amount of blood each time it beats. So your patient has heart failure, the heart is having difficulty keeping up with the demands of the body, either at rest or when the patient is trying to exercise. Or there's a second part of that coin. It's the inability of the heart to meet those demands without having an increase in the pressure within the heart. So either way, what happens is that the patient has symptoms of forward failure, where they get weakness, fatigue, the kidneys don't work as well as they should. They find that, you know, they're trying to go up a flight of stairs and they get out of breath, or they just are unable to have enough power to get through the day. Or there are signs of backward failure, sometimes we call it, where fluid backs up into the lungs or into the rest of the body, and you get fluid in the lungs backing up and causing shortness of breath when patients try to lie down at night. So I think one of the reasons why Barry may have been diagnosed with reflux is that he probably had a little bit of a cough when he lay down flat at night. And someone thought, oh, well, that cough is, you know, acid reflux going up into the throat, causing a little tickle and whatever. But it was probably fluid backing up into the lungs when he was lying on flat. And then also you may get swelling of the legs or congestion of the liver, where the liver gets a little bit swollen, and you may get abdominal discomfort as well. I think I used a few jargony type words in there. So if anybody has any issues with my explanation, you can ask a few extra questions. But heart failure, as I said, is a syndrome. And like I learned first from Dr. Massey and others of his ilk, older generation, that once you make a diagnosis of heart failure, you can't stop there. There has to be a reason for that heart failure. So we still have to look a little bit.
And that was my next question. What was it that precipitated heart failure in our patient, Barry? Have they found out your cause, Barry? Are you willing to share that with us? Is it unknown?
It's unknown.
Okay, well, that's the thing we can say about medicine, ladies and gentlemen. One thing about medicine is the uncertainty of medicine. There are no absolutes. I'm sure Dr. Masih, from his years of experience, will be able to tell you that in medicine, there are no absolutes. Before I go back to Dr. Masih, though, Barry, there's a question that I want to ask you. Mm-hmm. When you, at 35 years old, heard that you had heart failure, tell me what that meant for you.
I'll be honest, it was life-changing, it was depressing, because, well, what I should say is that it was depressing afterwards, because I was so naive that I didn't know exactly what it entailed. But after I began to find out the entire gravity of heart failure and what it meant, it was depressing, to be honest.
Okay, that's understandable. Speak to us about the changes that you were able to make so you could get through that depression, because I am telling you, at this point in time, Barry, there is somebody who is living with heart failure who is depressed, and perhaps your story can help that person to continue to ride through this journey of uncertainty.
What I would say to a person who may be depressed with heart failure is that it's not the death sentence that we may think it is, you know. But we can still lead active and healthy lives. You have to make some obvious life decisions, changes, especially with your nutrition. One of the hard lessons that I learned was reducing my sodium intake. Because even though I don't have high blood pressure, I still have a lot of pressure in the arteries. But you can do that. You can get back to exercising. Even if you cut it back a bit, you can do most things. But you just got to, you know, you have to be positive and believe.
Okay, so Dr. Masih, a patient has just received the diagnosis of heart failure. What are the options? What's the next step, actually? And how do we come to that diagnosis? Apart from the clinical symptoms that we would have discussed just now, like the forward failure and backward failure that Dr. Scantlebury had mentioned, with forward failure being the inability to exercise and do strenuous work, and backward failure being like you're choked up, water in the lungs, and your legs are swollen, and so on. How do we objectively come to the diagnosis of heart failure?
Well, as Don said, it's a clinical syndrome. Mm-hmm. And it is a compilation of symptoms and signs, the symptoms that Barry gives. But you know what? Symptoms stretch beyond any one symptom, one system, because asthma can present as he presented. And therefore, if he went into a doctor and said, oh yes, I have asthma, I think the doctor drops his guard immediately and say, okay, fine, it's the asthma doing it. That breathlessness at night, plus or minus wheezing, effort intolerance can also occur with asthma. So you have to, let me quote one of the greats that has passed on. That's Professor George Nicholson. And he said, we physicians are like little Perry Masons. Well, nobody of your age group would know who Perry Mason was.
Stick a pin, Dr. Masih. Perry Mason is one of my favorite lawyers.
Right. Good. So Nicole used to say, we are like little Perry Masons putting the pieces together. And I think that's what has to be done from the story. It's a story that could be due to heart failure. And then you start to look for the other contributing causes. One of the strongest contributing causes is actually your family history. You are your family. If you come from a heart family, and you can go back and see that in particularly first degree relatives. And then, of course, the clinical findings, as Don mentioned, and now risk factors. Risk factors for heart disease overwhelm just about everything else. Obesity, increased alcohol intake, physical inactivity. And you start getting these little pieces together until you compile that diagnosis of, aha, this is heart failure. Because the patient presents with the symptoms, effort intolerance, shortness of breath at night, needing to prop up, can't do anything that they used to do, plus or minus chest pain. That's fine. And then you add oh, he's predisposed it or she's predisposed it. And I say he or she because it crosses genders. It's not that the girls get mommy disease and the boys get daddy disease. It can go across. A boy can inherit his mother's heart problems. A girl may not get it. And I've seen this in families. So you add the family history and then you look for all the other risk factors. And once you can compile a list, a set of suspects and or persons of interest, and you put them all together, then you come up with the diagnosis. And then you go on from there. The next important thing is exactly what is the cause. There's a myriad of causes. And you've got to find out that one and treat it specifically.
Renee, I can't hear you.
Oh, how is it?
Okay, hear you now.
No, now we can hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Is it still okay?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Sorry about that, listeners. Everybody seems to be having some technical challenges today, you know. There must be a little imp walking around interfering with mics and so on. But my question was to Dr. Scantlebury, inquiring whether or not there was a particular set of investigations that should follow my suspected diagnosis of heart failure as a physician. Is there something that I should order to substantiate that diagnosis, or I just go ahead and treat the symptoms?
Okay. So obviously the first investigation comes through your stethoscope. And a good, and your eyes and your, and your ears, et cetera, a good clinical examination, good history to find out all the things that Dr. Mansi discussed, age and all the risk factors like diabetes and high blood pressure. And then we do basic stuff like a chest x-ray to see if there's fluid in the lungs and what the heart size is, an ECG to see if there are any abnormal heart rhythms, and such as atrial fibrillation or other abnormal heart rhythms that go along with heart failure. And then we look to see if there are any changes on the ECG, the electrocardiogram, that could suggest that someone has had a heart attack or had blood pressure related to heart disease and thickening of the heart muscle. And then a very important test that we do is a test called an echocardiogram, which is an ultrasound of the heart that kind of is like a window into the chest, where we look at the structure of the heart. We can see the function of the heart.
Dr. Scantlebury, sorry for interrupting you, but Barry, just pay attention to your mic. I think it might be moving or blowing or something. It's causing a little bit of noise. I think it's your mic that's going. Yeah, I think it is, because I'm not hearing noise now. So, and that was coming through while the doctor was speaking, you see, so it's making it hard to hear what she's saying. So, Doc, continue, please.
Okay. So the echocardiogram is the ultrasound of the heart, and that gives us an idea as to what the heart is, how it's squeezing. So we see the function of the heart, we see the structure of the heart, we look for abnormal weakness in any particular wall, thickening. It looks at the valves. We can see if there is any abnormality in the heart valves, whether there is stenosis or narrowing of the valve or leaking at some of the valves. So it gives us a very good idea as to what the underlying cause is. Sometimes there's an appearance on the echo that is very nonspecific, and then we have to go a little bit further. Sometimes we look at the blood vessels that supply the muscle of the heart with indirectly with a stress test or directly with something called a CAT scan or even invasively with a cardiac catheterization. So we look to see if there's any blockages there's any blockage in the blood vessels that supply the muscle of the heart causing that weakness of the heart muscle. Here's Alicia. Hi, Alicia.
Hi.
Hi, Alicia.
Hi.
Perseverance seldom fails, so it is wonderful to have you with us.
Nice to be here.
Yes, we had Barry share his story, and you've come at pretty much an ideal time. In a couple of minutes, I want you to share your story with the listeners, and after we hear your story, we'll take a break, and then we'll get back to the discussion. So go ahead, tell us, how is it that you have ended up in our conversation on heart troubles today?
I was born with a leaking valve. And 4 years ago in 2016, I went into cardiac arrest. Which led me in a coma for 32 days, in which time I underwent my first open heart surgery, where the mitral valve was replaced.
Okay, so
then 6 months after that, I had.
All right, let's do the same thing that we did with Barry. So we know that you ended up presenting to accident and emergency in a very serious state, but take us back maybe a couple of weeks before. Were you feeling unwell? Did this happen all of a sudden? Were there any warning signs?
Yes, there were plenty. I was tired a lot, and I found that my heart was racing a lot too. Yeah, that's about it. Just being tired often, doing simple things like standing up, breathing here, which is something I do every day. I could not stand for like 5-10 minutes just to breathe somebody's hair. I had to sit down or I had to go and lay down and come back.
Okay, in an effort to complete what it was that you had started doing.
Yeah.
Okay, is there a history of heart disease in your family?
Not to my knowledge. Since I have had my surgery, my aunt is the only other person really. She had a stroke. Outside of that, none of my siblings have heart disease, or my mother or my father.
Okay, so Dr. Massey, after we take our break, we're going to come to you and we are going to discuss mitral valve prolapse, but we're going to take a break for some messages and then we'll come right back to you, Dr. Massey.
Okay.
All right. I want to thank Dr. Boyce and her team for presenting the Better Health Radio Show. Today it's coming to you with the kind compliments of A.A. Lachise. And at this time, we'll ask Dr. Boyce to present to you the tip, the Better Health Radio Show tip, with the compliments of A.A. Lachise.
Our listeners, and here is this week's tip. Many persons in our country have been diagnosed with chronic diseases such as diabetes, hypertension, and elevated cholesterol. Here's a tip on those lifestyle changes that your healthcare professional suggests. Reduce the number of processed and sweetened foods in your diet, such as cakes, cookies, and pastries. Try to satisfy that sweet tooth by using preferably fresh or frozen fruits. Apart from being lower in sugar, these foods also contain additional vitamins and minerals, which are good for you. That was today's tip from A.A. Lachise.
Thank you so much, Dr. Boyce. The Better Health Radio Show tip, compliments of A.A. Lachise.
Improve your quality of life with A.A. Lachise Home Healthcare Solutions. Where comfort, mobility, orthopedic, respiratory, diagnostic, safety, home healthcare made easy. Manage your wellness with expert care from Home Healthcare Solutions.
Come to A.A. Lachise at Langens Mall for all of your home healthcare needs.
Home Healthcare Solutions.
And again, a big thank you to A.A. Lachise for jumping on board the Better Health Radio Show. Doc,